As we look to the new year, let's take a closer look at what's coming on the world stage. Geopolitical Futures, a for-profit, nonpartisan company that compiles analysis regarding worldwide events, politics, and economics, has released its annual forecast predicting a major reshuffling on the global stage in 2019. So what exactly is in store? For some top-line predictions, our co-host Lauren Gilger spoke with Jacob Shapiro, director of analysis for the company.
So let's start with some of the top line predictions here. Tell us, with the U.S. on the world stage, what do you see happening?
What I see with the U.S. is that the U.S. has basically become overextended on the world stage. So for the United States, I see that the United States trying to pull back from some of the conflicts that it has failed to move the needle on. I see it trying to reorganize some of its partnerships and alliances and relationships abroad to pursue the interests that it's articulated. The flip side, or the byproduct of this, though, is that you're beginning already to see competition in a lot of strange places around the world, places like Central Asia, Central America, the South Pacific, places that haven't been relevant geopolitically for decades, but now, because the United States has spread too thin, you're beginning to see both regional and global powers compete there.
Right. So let's talk about China then, which is one of the biggest competitors. There seems to be still some debate over whether it's the U.S. and is the top world power, or China is, or one will overtake the other. What do you see that looking like in 2019?
Sure. So for us at GPF, this is a relatively easy question to answer because we don't think China's in the same league as the United States from a political, economic, military basis. No matter what basis you look at it, it's just a junior partner. I think what's going on is that China and the United States have had this basically cooperative economic relationship for decades where China made cheap goods and Americans bought those goods. And now the United States would like to reorganize the terms of that relationship. And the Chinese are so exposed to the U.S. market that they can't push back against the United States. But if they do too much, they might actually risk social unrest at home. So they're in a very difficult position. And I think they are going to be looking to defuse the situation actually in the year ahead, not to inflame it.
You're referring to this sort of trade war we've seen going on between the U.S. and China this year.
Exactly. But the trade war is no different than sort of how not just the United States, but Western countries have been dealing with China since the Opium Wars. The only difference right now is that instead of selling opium to China, the United States would like to sell all other kinds of goods to China rather than Chinese companies getting to sell those goods to all the Chinese people who have become enriched in the past few decades.
Right, right. You also say here that you see the U.S. wanting to wrap up a lot of the wars in the Middle East, conflicts and we're involved in there. We've seen the president just pull troops out of Syria entirely, but he said yesterday when he visited Iraq that is not a place they're going to pull out troops. What do you see happening in the Middle East?
Look, I think that like President Obama, even like President Bush before him, Donald Trump, President Trump would like to get out of the Middle East, and he will try as hard as he can, and he will probably get sucked back in. You know, on the ground in Syria, I'm more optimistic that the United States can stay out of that just because you have so many regional powers that are on the ground there and have interest there. I do think, though, you have to be concerned about a resurgence of ISIS because ISIS grows in conditions where you have sectarian conflict and power vacuums, and that's going to be there. As for Iraq and Afghanistan, though, and, you know, the United States is going to pull back, and the same things that prevented Obama from fulfilling his campaign promises on Iraq and Afghanistan will probably force the Trump administration to do more in those areas than they want to. But I certainly think you will see President Trump push up against his own bureaucracy and try as much as possible to get those forces reoriented, especially towards Russia, especially towards the Pacific.
Right, right. So let's end by talking about what's coming domestically. There's a lot of talk about a recession coming just because this is the nature of the cycle of the economy. Is that something you're worried about?
I'm very worried about it. And I'm worried about it sort of on a double basis, because it's not just the end of a particular, you know, expansionary cycle in the U.S. economy. As I alluded to before, it's also the end of a global economic cycle where the United States and China saw eye to eye on what their different roles were in the global economy. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, this has been a very weak recovery. There's been very weak monetary policy. There's been cheap capital, low interest rates for a long time. And if you just look at the indebtedness of both the United States government and the United States consumer, they're sky high. So I can't tell you exactly which sector or which bubble is going to pop. If I could, I would own an island in the South Pacific and I wouldn't be here talking to you.
Right.
But I can tell you that there's a lot of debt in the system. And when you add a cyclical downturn with global geopolitical tensions and then with all of these debt bubbles all across the place, I think you have to be ready for a lot of uncertainty and for a lot of volatility in the market. And you're already seeing that right now. It's gyrating all over the place.
Yeah, we've seen that just this week. So what might that mean if you see, like you said, uncertainty in the markets next year?
Well, look, the way I say this is that for the United States will get a flu, but the global economy might really get pneumonia because a lot of these countries, and China is just one of them, Germany is another, think about Russia and Saudi Arabia in terms of oil. A lot of these countries built an export base that their own populations couldn't support. It was especially United States consumers buying those goods that kept the whole global economy going. So what happens in a cyclical U.S. downturn is that U.S. demand goes down. And then you start looking at German exports, and are they going to tank? You start looking at South Korean exports. Are they going to tank? How low is that price of oil going to go? And how much pressure is that going to put on the Saudis, on the Russians? So I think the United States gets through this after a period of volatility, and whether President Trump is caught holding the bag is sort of the most interesting question going forward for the United States.
Yeah.
But globally, I think a lot of these trade-dependent countries that are dependent on those trade relationships with the United States, they're scared. They're quivering.
All right. That's Jacob Shapiro, Director of Analysis for Geopolitical Futures, giving us the global point of view looking to 2019. Jacob, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.